Invincibles. Howdy. We are recording from the show floor. This is Saturday. We're kind of waiting in line to do a quick Lotro three-man competition deal they're doing. 10 minutes in the survival mode and you can win lifetime memberships for your party. But we got a big, big schedule today. Probably going to go try to hit up the L.A. Noir. Going to try to hit up, what are you looking forward to?
Tour.
Apparently tour. I'm going to get into the Battlefield 3 thing for damn sure. How about you, Eric? This is our buddy Eric. Y'all haven't heard from him. Of course, he's one of our three listeners, so, you know, whatever. But he's here with us. What are you looking forward to today, Eric?
Stuff here and there. Looking forward to the StarCraft competitions tonight. Looking at the 3DS a little bit later on. Obviously doing survival here. And just a little nitpicking here. I might go try Child of Eden a little bit.
Yeah, Child of Eden. Oh,
no, yes. Yeah, we got to hit that one up, too.
But what we're going to try to do today, because we were having such an issue getting these things out yesterday from the show floor, because the 3G network is bogged down to crap, we're just going to try to append onto this log for the rest of the day, and then tonight when we get back to the hotel, we'll upload it then. So it'll be one big file, but I hope you enjoy it. Take care, guys.
See ya.
So we just finished up the 10-minute survival deal, and I think we got, maybe 6 minutes in, something like that?
About six minutes in.
And we were filling out the sheet afterward, and the community manager came over and said, hey, we need to remove these guys who got the only 10-minute score so far today, because apparently what they did during, they kited for the last 2 minutes of their turn, and destroyed the healer bar so the other teams would not be able to heal properly, which was me.
So ass. They actually moved the buttons around. Fucked. Oh, that's so ass. That's
So the one 10-minute team has now been disqualified. So yeah, there we go. But Mighty Invincibles podcast is now up on the board. There we go. Mighty Invincibles podcast, 5 minutes 46 seconds.
All right, awesome.
So there we go. All right, just thought we'd let y'all know that was fun. We got somebody disqualified. Fuck them. Later.
We just met Tim Schaefer. You didn't.
Hey, folks. This is Stomp. We're actually down here taking a look at Trench. We talked to Tim Schaefer a second ago, and right now we're here with Brad Muir, the project lead for Trench. Just wanted to get a couple of your thoughts, Brad. We've already had some little hands-on time with it. You know, great little tower defense, third-person shooter game. What are the customization options that we're kind of looking at on these mechs? It looks like it's pretty intense.
Yeah, we got a ton of stuff. You can customize the chassis of the trench, the legs, the weapons, the emplacements, those are the towers that you put down. And then we have a bunch of vanity stuff too. We have paint jobs, and then hats and jackets for your trench marines. So
that's awesome. Right on.
Yeah, in between the missions, you'll be running around on the deck of the USS McKinley. It's this big aircraft carrier. And it has giant mechanical legs as well. It's amphibious. So you'll be running around. This is our multiplayer lobby. You're running your Trench Marine around directly. So you get to see your mech really big. The scale change is cool. And then you can invite players directly aboard the ship. And you'll see their mech come up a big lift. And they'll jump over the railing. And you'll be hanging out together. Right, talking on. About what kind of gear you want to take in the next mission. And we also have a really simple matchmaking system where you just run over this radio room, hit one button, and anybody else that's searching for games, it'll link you guys up, and you can just play with random people.
Very good, very good. This is 4-player co-op, correct?
Yeah. 4-player co-op over Xbox Live.
Very good, very good. Unfortunately, there are no split screen and live, but, programming challenges, we'll deal.
Split screen. I'd like to apologize for all the people that love local co-op. I want to hear from you, though. Send me an email. Because we're just really not sure how many people really play games and want to play games in that way. It's kind of a numbers game, It's if there's a huge demand for it, I want to know. I want to know what they are, because I'm not really a very powerful man in this industry, so I don't have I can't press a button on my evil keyboard and have somebody email me or telepathically send me numbers about how many people are demanding local co-op.
I would imagine there's not too much demographic information out for that kind of thing.
It's really hard, I think. I don't know how to get those numbers, but I guess see all the people that listen to your podcast that like it can email me, and then I'll be hey, cool.
There you go.
We'll find out. Because, if there's a demand for it, like, I can push for it, like, in our some of our next titles, like, I would, because I love it. Like, it's really weird just for me as a gamer. Like, I used to love playing games, like, look, I mean, man, like, playing the NES, like, I'm always looking for, that was how I learned the word simultaneous.
Yes, sir.
Was playing on the NES, right? Like you just wanted to play games with my brothers. I wanted to, like, sit down, like, plug in two controllers and play that, and it's like, you know, you want to make sure that it's, like, you can play it together, not just, like, trading off, like, whatever. So, like, yeah, but, like, as I've grown up and become a man, I just, like, you know, I don't, that's not really how I play games. Like, I usually play, I really like playing online stuff, and I'm usually playing with, like, my brother, like, coworkers that are all, like, in their homes by themselves, and we're all playing over the internet, talking to each other and stuff.
Sure. And I mean, that's fine, you know, and that's how we mainly play, but, you know, occasionally on a game such as this, my fiance kind of wants to get in, and we're like, oh yeah, you know, let's all just cat on the couch and do that. But you know,
you just need two Xboxes, two gold accounts, two giant TVs.
Right. Two that is correct. Yeah.
So when you find that well of infinite money, like, hopefully you'll share some of it with me. That would be awesome.
Oh yes. Well, so you have anything else you want to ask Brad real quick?
I'm just curious how many different customizable or how many different maps there are and that type of stuff. Like, are there different sort of, you know, different monsters and different enemies and how many different kinds of things are there?
Yeah. So the campaign is the same campaign whether you're playing it by yourself or you're playing with other people. We just, like, scale up the difficulty. Like, so you're going to see more enemies. They're going to be a lot tougher than they are when you're playing it by yourself. You do have a chance to get more loot, though, because the loot is random.
Oh, right.
All the enemies drop a random piece of loot, like, have a chance to drop a random piece of loot, so that chance will go up when you're just fighting more of them.
Sure.
There's 15 missions in the game, plus, like, the tutorial and stuff in the beginning. So, yeah, we're shooting for about 6 to 8 hour playthrough when you go through it.
Perfect.
Missions are about 20 minutes long, and then some of them are hard, and they get longer as you go on through the campaign. So you fight through Europe, and then you fight through Africa, and then you fight through the Pacific. That's, like, where it wraps up. And some of the missions in the Pacific are really hard and a lot longer. Like, the one we're showing off here is the airfield mission. It's 15 waves. It's, like, the second mission in the game. But later, you're going through, like, a 20-wave battle, and it's, like, it's quite a bit longer. And, yeah, the waves are more complicated. And, we really ramp up the difficulty so that we try to provide, like, a stiff challenge once you get to the Pacific. But what was the other question you had? I feel like I only answered part of it. Oh, there's like 13 different enemy types in the game. And then we have, so three of the missions of the 15 are like these huge boss fights where you're fighting these just like huge monovision constructs that are like gigantic. Like you saw the mini boss in the level, the Volt Dropper that we have flying around. That guy's tiny. Like, the bosses are just, like, these huge things that you fight, and it's, like, it's really a nice change of pace where, like, you're always, you know, you're always defending something, and you always feel like you've got your back against the wall or whatever, but in those boss fights, you just get to, like, you don't have to defend anything, you get to just go blow some shit up, and
right on.
It's awesome.
All right, and speaking of the world, I mean, this is, like, from what I've heard of the story, it's just, like, television people versus humans. That's the gist of what I've been able to get together on.
Yeah. So the backstory is not, like, super easy to explain.
Well, so it's Double Fine. I would hope there's a little bit. I mean, it definitely looks like a Double Fine kind of world.
That's awesome. I'm really happy to hear you say that because, like, you know, working on a shooter, like working on a more like core game, there were a lot of, like, you know, naysayers when they found out we were doing a shooter.
They
didn't really think that they thought it would be like too big of a departure from something like Costume Quest and stacking and Brew Legend and all that stuff.
No. I mean, if nothing else, I am glad to see y'all branch out. With this and Once Upon a Monster, y'all have made my fucking year like you wouldn't believe. You know,
that's great to hear, man. Great to hear.
This, you know, I allow myself very few day one purchases. On arcade games, it's a little bit more, but this is definitely one of them. But this and Demon's Souls and Brink are
I haven't seen Brink yet.
Oh, it's right. I went to the event last night. It was nice.
I walked by it. They have a bunch of stations over there. Right?
I will tell you though, probably not gonna get it on the Xbox. I need a keyboard and mouse for that one. I have to say. So, but
wait, why is that? Why are you gonna get it on a PlayStation? We're standing in the Microsoft booth too,
hilarious. I'm getting it on PC.
You think it's more of a PC shooter? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's strange for third-person shooters. I prefer a gamepad, but for first-person, I really need a keyboard and mouse. You know, and I grew up playing Enemy Territory on
Oh, that's a great game.
On a PC. And this is Enemy Territory 3. That's essentially what it is. Okay. So.
Oh, wait. Is it some of the guys that did
it's
that worked
damage.
On that stuff?
It's Splash Damage.
Oh, man. I didn't even know who was developing it. Who's publishing it, though? Maybe I just like got my wires crossed.
Bethesda.
Okay, that threw me off then. Okay, that's crazy. That's wow. Yeah, because they're man, those guys are rock solid.
Oh yeah,
like, I'll have to go check that out. Yeah, that's awesome.
But I mean, yeah, check out the game. It's definitely
but you think
fun.
It's more? You think it's like going to be better on PC?
I think I'm going to like it a lot better on PC. Yeah, it might have just been the way they had the controls set up at the party last night. I couldn't really get into it on there at all. But anyway, back to your game.
Oh yeah, hey, that's right. I'm working on a game. It's called Trench.
But yeah, the backstory a little bit.
Oh yeah, so there's these two main characters in the game. There's Frank Woodruff and Vladimir Farnsworth. So they're both soldiers, and they get injured in World War I, and they lose the ability to walk. So they're constrained to they're confined to wheelchairs. But they want to keep serving, so they like. Oh hey Jeff, that's Jeff. So they want to keep serving, so they enlist in like the radio listening station, and they're listening to enemy broadcasts and like listening for enemy chatter and stuff like that. But then there's this weird, strange like broadcast from space. It's called The Broadcast.
Okay.
So it melts most people's brains right away. But for them, it just kind of like puts them in a coma, and it like warps their mind a little bit. So when they come out of it, they have this increased capacity to create stuff. So Frank, he makes these awesome giant mechanical legs so that he can walk again and he can go see the world.
Yeah.
It's like his way of like reconnecting with humanity, and he helps wounded veterans walk again, and he's a big hero. So the other guy, Vladimir Farnsworth, he's more cynical and selfish. So he makes
I like cynical and selfish.
So he's the bad guy. Spoilers. So he makes the television. Like ahead of schedule, he makes the television. It's actually called the Monovision because it only gets one channel. Technology's not perfect, it's a little too early. So he sort of holds himself up in a room, and he wants to bring the world to him. But he's got this, you know, this distorted lens of early television, so it drives him really insane and makes him hate humanity. So he broadcasts his hatred like through the Monovision network, and he makes these Monovision construct bodies for the television so that they can walk around and take over the world. So the enemies that you see in the game are, yeah, these crazy television monsters that have, they're made out of wire and, like, electrical components and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very fiber optic sort of.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it really makes them stick out on the against the background, so they're easy to shoot. Gameplay advice.
Yeah.
Game design tips.
Use colors to identify enemies.
Yes.
And direct attention.
So, you'll when you kill these enemies, they'll cough up their monovisions. And then you can collect them. And then there's a very complex process that we don't explain, how the energy from the TV is extracted, and then use that to make turrets.
Right on.
So you kill the enemies, you collect the TVs, use that energy to put down more turrets, and then you know you're just defending against a series of waves. It's very like tower defense. It's the flow of a tower defense game, but you're stuck down in this awesome giant mobile trench mech.
Well, anyway, Brad, thank you so much for this. We really do appreciate it.
Thanks.
And
I really appreciate it.
Thanks
guys.
For being on the Mighty Vincibles podcast.
Cool.
Thank you. Take care.
Hey there, everybody. Just got out of the Deus Ex Human Revolution panel. That was pretty damn good. It's definitely looking more and more interesting by the day. I was a big fan of the first game, even though I never finished it. But I'm looking more and more forward to this one, the more I see of it. If you haven't seen anything about it, it looks like a mix of Mass Effect meets Splinter Cell Conviction, particularly if you're into the stealth stuff, mixed with a first-person shooter, you know, RPG elements and all that good stuff. A lot more Mass Effect than anything else in it. We also, me and Craig, took a look at Firefall, which I've been paying attention to for a while. That's a free-to-play, massively multiplayer, third-person shooter due out by the end of the year. That was looking really, really solid. Controls were a little touchy, but that could have just been the mouse settings that on the PCs we were playing on. Also took a look at Trenched, which you heard about. What else? Played some Red Faction Armageddon, which was damn good. But, you know... We'll have more information as the day goes along. Thank you for listening.